Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, homeschool father of five, still trying to hang on to some semblance of faith, family, and freedom in the breakdown of Western civilization, the breakdown of Christian culture in the West, where somehow we made it from Bach to rape rap over 400 years. That's pretty impressive. And my friends, the kind of culture that we have inherited from the last generation or two has been going downhill very, very, very fast. Cultural forms going downhill, and yet Christians are unable to interact with cultural forms. They have no idea how their faith has been co-opted and how Christian culture is being systematically dismantled at the foundation, generation after generation after generation, such that we're going to see all kinds of generational apostasy. And we bring up culture on this program because I think it's more important than education. And we can get our kids out of the public schools. And yet, if they still have the iPods, if they still have their Christian friends and their pop culture that seems to seep in under the doorways, into the brains, into these systems of children everywhere, we are going to see an ongoing corruption of the Christian faith generation after generation after generation, because we have powerful, powerful cultural machines that know how to erode the Christian foundations of culture in the minds of our children. Culture is religion externalized, cannot separate. How we externalize culture from our worldviews, there is no way we can separate these things. And yet we need to be careful in how we handle culture. We need to understand things like trajectory. And Dave, I get some negative feedback from time to time, especially from young people, when I get into the issue of culture. I talk about Hunger Games, I get Christian kids all mad at me. I talk about rap or hip-hop, I get in trouble from Christian children who are tied into this big time. And lately, I was somewhat critical of Lecrae Moore, who is a big-shot Christian artist right now. And I need to come back and clarify some things on this edition of the program. But I want to do it by means of contrast. And I think this program is going to be interesting, so I want you to stay tuned. Don't get the idea that Mr. Swanson is going to criticize everything. There are positives or negatives. But we need to pay attention to macros and micros in the great cultural rivers that seem to flow all the time. Well, let me begin, not with Lecrae, but I want to begin with Carrie Underwood. Because Carrie Underwood is, I think, a very, very important exemplar of American culture. She sets a trajectory, a very, very important trajectory that we should not deny. An important trajectory in the sense that she is Americana to the core. She begins with Jesus Take the Wheel, as most Americana cultural heroes begin. This is typically where they begin. This is where men like Elvis Presley begin. This is where men like Elvis Presley begin. Carrie Underwood begins with Jesus Take the Wheel, which is supposed to be a Christian song. I mean, she mentioned Jesus, right? It's got to be Christian. Of course, you know, it kind of undermines the idea that Jesus is sovereign, and Jesus is already in charge, and he's not at the beck and call of man's sovereign will. And when it's man's sovereign will versus God's sovereign will, among much of the wishy-washy Christianity today that's been completely humanisticized, you find that that American Christians believe that man is sovereign. Man's sovereign will really trumps God's sovereign will in these sorts of things, and so her metaphysic is humanistic. She's got a humanistic, man-centered way of looking at metaphysics, and then she throws in the word Jesus, and that's supposed to sanctify the whole thing. But that's typically where it all begins. Now, you know, I just spent about 10 or 15 minutes looking at Carrie Underwood's recent stuff. She's a big-shot country star. She's actually, I think she had a number one album on Billboard's Top 200. I think she went all the way to number one, or it might have been number three, but she went pretty high on her most recent album, Blown Away. And just reviewing her recent album, and I found that she's got some pretty rough stuff. Pretty rough stuff. You analyze the lyrics. Now, we're not going to look at the form. We're just going to talk about the lyrics just for a moment. If you just look at the lyrics, here's the recent Carrie Underwood stuff. Now, remember, Carrie Underwood begins with Jesus Take the Wheel. So a lot of Christians are listening to her stuff. A lot of Christians got hooked into it and jumped onto her trajectory and rode the Carrie Underwood bandwagon. Never mind the fact that she has recently endorsed homosexual marriage. Never mind the fact that Carrie Underwood dragged a 12-year-old up onto the stage and introduced him to fornication by giving him a big kiss. And his first kiss, so to speak, is sort of a gross thing that was covered by some of the networks. But never mind all of that. Christians are still pretty much on the bandwagon with Carrie Underwood. Anyway, Dave, here's a number of her songs. If you want to know the content of her her songs, Before He Cheats is her biggest. Okay, that's her very, very biggest. Came out about 2 years ago. Apparently, in this song, one fornicator upset with her fornicating, cheating boyfriend takes revenge by slashing his tires. Sort of a vengeful, violent, feminazi kind of song. By the way, some of these women's songs become increasingly hard-edged as they become increasingly dominant and of course, more and more feminist in their outlook. And this is something that the wimpy little country singer stars are receiving more and more. Okay, Last Name is another song that was a really big song for her. I heard it. I've heard it in lots and lots of stores and such over the last number of years. In this song, she doesn't know his name. She doesn't know her name. She just woke up in his bed married to him. So, you know, drunkenness, fornication, all that sort of stuff. Good Girl, another song that's come out recently on her new album, Blown Away. Story about a girl who's told not to fornicate, but she does so anyway. Can't help it. You know how it goes. Can't help it. Pretty much the American story. That's why 95% of Americans confess to premarital sex on their wedding day, per USA Today. All right. Then also Blown Away, another country song. This is, I think, one of her number one songs on her number one album that just came out. A hard-edged, horrible song about a daughter who kills her father out of revenge. Blows up the house, burns down the place, and kills her dad. So, real tender little, you know, father-honoring song there on revenge. There's also Two Black Cadillacs, Two Women Killing a Cheating Man. So lots of murder going on, lots of adultery. Wine After Whiskey, typical love lost song, relationship busted up. Now the sexual encounters are less interesting. Thank God for hometowns. Okay, occasionally what you'll get with country songs, Dave, is you'll get a little bit of Mama Apple Pie, Chevrolet, and Church Pews. And that's kind of what you get here. Just a little respect for Mama, Church Pews, and football games. Pretty much the Americana thing. So you throw that one in. That kind of sanctifies the album. And then One Way Ticket is a song on the recent Carrie Underwood album. Talks about the good life. The good life is about partying. Party, party, party. It's the eternal party. You leave work behind you and live the endless party. Party, and that's pretty much what life is all about. Eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die. Let's just party down. Life is about partying, partying, and partying. Sounds a little existentialistic to me. Okay, Dave, what you get in these albums, lots of unfruitful works of darkness. You pretty much hang out with a man in the iron cage. We just live in our sin. We can't really help it. The typical country, sort of like the old Roger Miller song, Dang Me, Dang Me, They Ought to Take a Rope and Hang Me. Spent all the money and half the rent on alcohol. Now all I've got is $20.16 left, so dang me. That was the old Roger Miller song from years ago. But again, it's the typical country way. I am going to live a life of sin, and sin and more sin because I can't help it. And we're just the man in the iron cage, destined for hell, but we're going to have a really good time getting there. So that's pretty much the country music worldview that you get on a pretty regular basis. Now, Dave, I wanted to play, and before you comment, I know you're just aching to comment on some of this stuff, I want to play Carrie Underwood's most popular song of all time, 35,600,000 downloads on YouTube. This is Before He Cheats. I'll just play a couple of 10, 15, 20 seconds of it.
Right now, he's probably slow dancing with a bleach blonde tramp, and she's probably getting thirsty. Right now, he's probably buying her some fruity little drink, cause she can't shoot whiskey. Right now, he's probably up behind her with a pool stick, showing her how to shoot a combo. And he don't know.
You get the idea. Okay, so, you know, kind of the revenge. My fornicating, cheating boyfriend's cheating on me, so I'm going to key his car. So, Dave, that's pretty much country music today, and your kids, your Christian kids, quote-unquote, are listening to that kind of stuff these days. Dave, I mean, I'm just giving you a little bit of an earful of what's going on out there. Dave, 36 million downloads. Carrie Underwood, Jesus Take the Wheel. She's setting her trajectory, baby. Towards, well, you get it, Dave. Lots and lots of murder, revenge, fornication, drunkenness, and I'm going to get even with whoever because it's just cool to get even with him.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much country music.
Yeah.
I don't listen to much country music. I really don't know who Carrie Underwood is.
Well, I used to
do a little
listen
research.
To Gene Autry and Sons of the Pioneers when I was a kid, so I guess we've come a long way. Oh, man.
It seems to me
that... Oh, man, this is the wrong worldview.
To be a good country song, don't you have to sing about getting drunk? adultery.
Yeah, and I guess they're still doing it, except now it's just kind of more hard-edged than ever before. I think that's what's happening. You're just getting, it's more hard-edged.
It's interesting to me that so many of these pop singers start out singing in the church.
They do.
Carrie Underwood is not one.
But it's all about trajectory, Dave. Trajectory is key. This is the direction she's going. I'm going to contrast her with Lecrae in just a minute, because I think this is an interesting contrast.
I think that happens to some of these young folks is that before they have a discerning mind, they make it big, and handlers get to them, and the handlers start creating a worldview, and you know they help them become more famous and have 35 million downloads and all that. That to be sure, that's what the handlers do. But the handlers also corrupt.
Yeah, she's getting more downloads than I get.
By about 35 million.
Exactly.
Roughly. give or take 100,000.
Okay. Okay, my friends. This is culture today. This is what our kids are listening to. And, Dave, I mean, I'm not saying everybody's kids are listening to this stuff, but I, you know what? I've seen guys in our Shepherd Center, and we're talking about homeschool kids coming in from, you know, all kinds of nice little homeschool families, attending their nice little family integrated churches, and they love this Blown Away album by Carrie Underwood. And again, what is it about? It's about revenge. It's about fornication. It's about, you know, killing your father because he's kind of a jerk and because on and on and on. I mean, that Dave, honestly, outside of Thank God for Hometowns, which may or may not have some value to it, again, country music was supposed to be folk music a long time ago. It was supposed to have some honor for fathers and grandfathers. But it's been so popified, it's ridiculous. It's probably 97-98% just popular art, and it's got a hard-edged attitude, much more than ever before. I don't get the idea that Jesus has taken the wheel.
No.
You know what I'm saying? I just not getting the feel that Jesus has taken the wheel in Carrie Underwood's life. The whole revenge motive, Dave, I thought Jesus wasn't really big on this revenge thing. You know, personal revenge. I mean, not turning her father into the civil magistrate. We're talking about burning the house down with him in it. Okay, that's Carrie Underwood, ladies and gentlemen. All right, be back in just a moment. We're going to talk about Lecrae Moore, because I think this one's even more interesting. We're analyzing culture on this edition of the Generations broadcast in my basement as Western civilization is breaking down piece by piece into just, I don't know, a society where 50% of kids are born without fathers, up from 5 or 6% back in 1960. And Carrie Underwood is leading the pack, my friends, as is pretty much the entire cultural machine from Nashville and Hollywood. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trusteth to the book called the Scriptures, thou trusteth to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
Welcome back to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson today doing our cultural edition of the program. Dave Buhner also in studio with me. Carrie Underwood is tremendously powerful, influential as a cultural leader today. And I personally think she's leading in the wrong direction. Dave, your thoughts on this? I mean, Carrie Underwood starts out with a trajectory that most people are thinking is going to be, you know, Christian. And she attends a Christian church. You know that? I mean, she attends some, you know, evangelical church somewhere. I don't know what her pastors are telling her. I mean, are they telling her, hey, Carrie, you know, thumbs up. I'm glad you kissed that 12-year-old on the stage, giving him, you know, his sexual introduction. Really like the pro-homosexual marriage thing that you came out with. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, and that whole thing about burning down the bed and of your father and the fornication, the drunkenness. Oh, man, you are nailing it. You are nailing it. What are our pastors telling her?
Well, I don't know. It says... This is Wikipedia says she started out singing in the church at the First Free Will Baptist Church.
Well, that's probably why she's talking about Jesus taking the wheel.
Because it's a Free Will Baptist church.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, she's in Oklahoma.
She's raised in a humanistic home, a humanistic church, where she's taught that man's free will determines everything, and God is not in control, and his sovereign will is always trumped by man's sovereign will. Okay, don't get me started on that.
But. Okay, it appears she has an interesting ethic in life. She's a vegan. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, no, I didn't know
that. It doesn't mean she won't eat meat or animal
but
products.
But it kind of bugs me.
That she's a vegan?
Yeah.
And she won't eat all things with thanksgiving in her heart, giving glory to God?
Yeah.
That's a little disturbing. She's a big pro-animal rights activist, which kind of goes with the whole vegan thing. She's also pro-LGBT.
Yeah, I already said that.
You know, so she's got an interesting ethic.
What do you think of her music?
Well, in her music, this is what I'm catching, Kevin. Men are losers.
Yeah, big time. Yeah.
A girl needs to be tough and independent.
I wonder if she's really, her trajectory is really towards lesbianism. Because, Dave, you know that's where culture goes. Where culture goes, fathers are losers, men are losers, and eventually they turn into lesbians. Dave, I mean, that's the culture today. That's the zeitgeist.
Well, she did marry a professional hockey player.
She did. Okay.
Well, so apparently not all men are losers. Uh-huh. Well, that is until he's out cheating. And then when his car has been keyed, he'll know it's pretty near the end.
Yeah, exactly.
It appears to me that as I see her form and her way, that beauty is power. And this is very Marxist and very feminist, that beauty is a woman's ability to influence and manipulate the world around them. And Carrie Underwood is a very attractive young woman, and she seems to be able to use that beauty in order to manipulate, and that is her power.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, want to contrast Carrie Underwood to Lecrae Moore. You know, I made some comments on Lecrae Moore several days ago on this program. He is a Christian hip-hop singer, and we're going to play a little bit of his stuff in just a moment. But I did say that some of the things that he had said about the relationship of Christian ethics and culture wasn't exactly what he should have been saying, and he hadn't been taught in some of these areas. And I still stand by that. Nevertheless, others have come back and said, Lecrae Moore has some good stuff. And so, of course, I've spent the last couple of days just checking out Lecrae Moore, because I didn't really know all that much about him, which I feel like I'm an idiot for not knowing some of this stuff, because this is the stuff that's really leading the nation. First of all, friends, remember, it's pastors that don't lead the nations anymore. This radio program doesn't lead anybody, hardly. Maybe a few fathers and mothers that listen to the program, but the vast, vast, vast majority of homeschool kids are not being led by their fathers and mothers or pastors or anybody in a basement on the eastern plains of Colorado. They don't care about this kind of stuff. They're being led, they're being taught, they're being discipled by the mass culture. I mean, this is the popular stuff, and it's really, really good, and at least in terms of the technicality of it all. It's just good stuff. I mean, it's very, very professionally produced, and kids are plugging into this with their iPods. And with maybe the exception of a few Amish and a few farm kids in Iowa who haven't found iPods yet. Okay, there's maybe a few exceptions, but by and large, I'm going to say 95 to 98% of Christian kids are pretty much plugged into much of this culture. And it's not just the CCM stuff, it's not just the Christian stuff, it's also the non-Christian stuff. Lecrae Moore has a lot of decent lyrics. Let's say that's the first thing I want to say. I mean, you look at his lyrics, some of it is dead on. I mean, really solid stuff. Now, he misses some things, but some of his lyrics, pretty solid, pretty dead on. Let's listen to this one video that comes from YouTube, and this one's got 4.6 million downloads. That's a lot of downloads. That's not as many as Carrie Underwood. She's got 35 million on her big one. This is Lecrae Moore. He's got 4.6 million downloads on his video, Don't Waste Your Life. Just catch a little bit of this on the Generations broadcast here.
Don't waste your life, man. I know a lot of people that are scared to go die. Couple of them thinking they'll be living in the sky. While I'm here living, man, I gotta ask why. What am I here for? I gotta figure out. Waste my life, no, I gotta make it count. If Christ is real, then what am I gonna do about? Everything in Luke 12, 15, out of 21, you really gotta go and check it out. Paul said if Christ ain't resurrected, we wasted our lives with all his lies. And our lives built around Jesus being alive. And they gonna go trying to show the world why. Fight more than everything you'd ever try. Better than pretty women sitting and living to get a minute of any women, a minute you and I. It ain't no lie, we created them. Out of dust, he made us form. Alexa said he saved us form. Jesus comes and he breaks us form.
You get the idea there, Dave. And it goes on and on and on. This is what is known as hip-hop or rap for those of you who are still listening to George Beverly Shea. this is different. This is not George Beverly Shea, Dave.
Who?
You, yeah, exactly. Who used to sing with Billy Graham in the 1950s and 1960s. We've come a long way from George Bev Shea, friends. That is called hip-hop, and it's a Christian version of it. Some of those words, actually, if you listen carefully, I know it's always kind of hard to pick up the words, understand the words, because a lot of times the words is not really what we're after in modern music, because sentiment is everything, sentiment is everything, sentiment is everything. Sentiment is coming across at 140 decibels, and the words themselves are shaved down to about 45 decibels. The sentiment is much, much, much more important to the modern ear, because that's the way music has been since. Roughly the revolutionary music of Wagner of the 1880s. Friends, that's the direction that music has gone. Sentiment is pretty much everything, and the words themselves are not all that important. But let's just say, Dave, that as he speaks on the resurrection of Christ, as he says, we're created and recreated in Christ to give God the glory, hard to argue with that kind of stuff, Dave.
It is hard to argue with created to give God.
Yeah. I mean, man, he's referring to biblical texts. Of course, he's speaking 100 miles an hour, but not that I don't speak 100 miles an hour.
I was going to say, you're not probably the one.
Exactly. Exactly. But he's got the songs Mayday. He warns about heaven and hell. He speaks of faith. We cannot live out God's standards. He said we need to admit that we're imperfect. Song called Violence. And by the way, this album, Mayday, the Mayday album, apparently has achieved number 3 on Billboard's 200 list. I mean, in other words, in terms of the most popular album in America, he took it to number 3. And he does so with songs like Mayday, where he talks about heaven and hell. He warns people about the reality of hell. He talks in a song called Violence, how strong men need to learn to forgive. The strongest men are those who have forgiven as God has forgiven us. He talks about how street violence is empty, and I think he refers to it as being against God's law, kind of, sort of. And in a song called Fakin', he warns kids about playing with murder. I pray that the Lord will save them before he drop them and make them stop it. So, you know, he wants to see these guys saved before they wind up going over the edge. Song called Lord Have Mercy. God turned him around, and now Jesus is his king. Song called It's Your World. On a different album, he mocks evolution, acknowledges God's sovereignty and salvation, the certainty of a final judgment, seems to think lightly of dominion work or conquering the earth. You know, that's the negative there, but he also refers to the emptiness of materialism. So, you know, he's getting some things right in the lyrics. I mean, you know, the points at which you have to say, this guy is getting some of this stuff right. Now, there are some weaknesses. Now, there are some strengths. We've already said there's some strengths. He seems to be good with the sixth commandment and the seventh commandment in terms of the law of God. Now, he doesn't talk about abortion and homosexuality, as far as I can tell. But he's strong in the sixth and seventh commandment. He's against gangs running around knocking people off. He's against murder. That's a good thing to be against murder.
I'm against murder?
Yeah. Now, he's also against materialism, too. He thinks materialism is a bad thing. And that's a good thing as well. But Dave, you know, we have to continue to look at the cultural situation here. Now, let me say first and foremost, Dave, that everybody really sets a trajectory when it comes to art or culture. And we don't judge a man by just one lyric or one song even. I think it's important to look at a man's work and a man's trajectory. This is very important. Art is trajectory, and we start in different places. And Dave, there's a difference between a kid raised in the projects who has just found Lecrae Moore, and the kid raised in a Christian home with parents who gave him the best music forms they could find, and they're running out to Carrie Underwood and maybe even Lecrae Moore. And these forms may not be conveying the idea of the fear of God very strongly. In other words, everybody starts in a different place. And it could be that Lecrae Moore has started in a certain place, and this kind of a form is a form where he feels he can honor God in this form. It's possible. I'll give that to him. But the point is, that there are different people who start in different places in life. And the fifth commandment and the first commandment, Dave, are very, very important. These are the cultural commandments. The first commandment, of course, is to honor and to worship and to serve the true and living God and to have no other gods before him. And Dave, when you have a command that requires the fear of God, you want a form that conveys the fear of God very, very, very well. And the honor of parents is something also that typically doesn't really show up. It certainly didn't show up in Carrie Underwood's presentation. And the cultural problem today, the problem with Lecrae Moore's of the world, the problem with all of us, okay, I'm not just saying it's Lecrae, the problem with all of us, the problem with the youth, is that we have a systemic issue in our culture today where parents are not honored. And because of that, because of the fifth commandment, you find that children in each successive generations are revolting against their parents' forms in dress, in honor, in the area of honoring others, in the area of fearing God, in the areas of working out the commandments of God as they ought to be working out the commandments of God. They're not taking their parents' laws, the commandments and approaches and culture and wrapping it around their wrists and tying it around their necks. Instead, they're revolting against the previous generation again and again and again and again. And that's how you get from Bach down to Rape Rap. Now, Bach, of course, Dave, had tremendous honor for parents, and you have six or seven generations of Bachs that are producing wonderful music. And it's a whole different form that develops in the generations of Bach as you see that develop between the 1600s and 1700s. But in the modern day, Dave, you get to Rape Rap, and Eminem, of course, the son of a single mom, is apparently unable to honor his mother, at least in much of his lyrics, referring to his mother as a female dog and all the rest. And he can't really honor his parents' music forms because he's in the process of dishonoring. And that's the culture, that's the zeitgeist, the spirit of the age is dishonoring. And Dave, I guess my concern is the fifth commandment is pretty much ignored when it comes to culture, and it needs to be brought back into the forefront. Now, the fear of God, of course, needs to be there as well. And I wonder if the form is really presenting the fear of God that well. Now, he may be saying we got to fear God, but it's hard to present it in a form that is presenting man as this brave, cool person that just wants to present himself as the coolest and the most courageous and the most powerful person by means of that form. In other words, the form itself seems to be developed around man's pride, man's arrogance. And the form, you know, the form that Eminem and other secular rapists and secular hip-hop artists produced was really a form that would present an arrogant, abrasive approach to breaking the laws of God. In other words, these men were outwardly shaking their fist to God. It would be like bringing the middle finger into the worship of God on a Sunday morning, Dave. That's what I'm talking about. Now, people say, well, the form, you know, isn't all that bad. I mean, you know, the middle finger is fine. It's as good as the pointy finger and the little finger and the thumb. So you can, of course, raise the middle finger in a worship service. But the problem with that is the middle finger has so much connotation. It's so symbolic of dishonor and disrespect for others. And people have used that middle finger so much that bringing it into worship and lifting it before God has an inability to express the kind of praise and worship and adoration for God that we want to present to him. What I'm saying, Dave, is that the form is incompetent to produce what you really want it to produce. And the same thing happens with these forms of music. You start to bring them into the worship of God, and you think, wow, that just doesn't fit very well.
We've got art and commerce infused in society. Ever since the great youth culture came about, youth culture wasn't culture. It wasn't great art. Nobody pretended it was great art. It was commerce. You could sell a lot of records. And those who were involved in that commerce have ever since the late 50s been about putting youth in front of us. And think about how foolish this is. The idea of putting youth, these are not the people who've honed their skills over decades, learning technical mastery. These are not people who have studied the great composers who have gone before and are deeply rooted in the history and extending the form. This is complete revolutionary thinking. This is, you have, freedom comes to them by breaking the rules of the past, of casting off history, of being independent of everything that happened. And that's where youth culture starts.
Although I think they would say that they have honed something of what they've begun in the revolution. That is, there are some forms that are better than others. Imagine if I was, or somebody, was trying to create sculpturing out of horse manure.
Okay.
Now, you know, he worked at it for 28 years. I mean, he got really, really, really good at sculpturing horse manure. And so you take a look at it, and you go, that's really good. But the form still stinks. You know, it stinks. The form still stinks. I mean, he got really good at a particular form, but you still question the form. You think, well, you know, too bad he didn't use another form that would have been better to present his message. So what I'm saying, Dave, is that it's possible to hone a form that may not be a very good form. But what you're saying is without the Fifth Commandment, without the honor of fathers and mothers, you're going to be up the creek in some of these art forms. And, Dave, it's also very interesting that a lot of these guys were raised by single moms, even Lecrae Moore. I mean, you know, bless his heart. God bless him and what he is doing with what he has. But, man, dysfunctional families is not going to produce functional art forms through the generations unless we begin to form functional families again and then over the generations begin to reconstruct music forms. So, Dave, what I'm saying is the social situation is ultimately going to dictate cultural forms for better or for worse.
Kevin, in the immaturity of our art forms and our youth culture, art has been evaluated on its ability to elicit certain emotions. In that regard, I think the art form, the music art form, is mainly a communication form. And in any communication, even people listening to us right now, the words are only a small portion of the whole communication.
Yeah.
How I say it, the tones, the rhythms matter. Your wife can ask you a question, but sometimes she can ask you a question that's not really an interrogative. It's a statement. Are you planning to wear that?
Yeah.
Well, that maybe the words are asking an interrogative. Are you planning to wear that? But the statement is really saying, I don't want you to wear that ugly, disgusting thing.
It's possible for the mode to contradict the message. Is that what you're saying? Or not really be apt to communicate the message in a proper way.
What I'm saying is that the lyrics of Lecrae are only part of the message.
Right, right.
There's the old aphorism, the media is the message. In this case, the media isn't music. The media is a particular kind of music. Mm-hmm. And the particular kind of music, when you get past the lyrics, elicits emotions. Yeah. And the emotions that it's eliciting are generally anger and rage. And it's hard for me to get past that because I'm not hearing the words as much as this is my perspective. This is where I come from, where, you know, I have my own inconsistencies in culture.
Yeah.
I like jazz, especially stuff that's rooted in historic jazz. But when I hear this, I'm hearing anger. It's hard for me to get past the rage that's going. It sounds like there's a riot happening outside.
Dave, I just like people to acknowledge that it's possible to create a mode that does not convey the message properly and in fact contradicts it or creates a sarcastic or sardonic expression of what you're trying to say. In other words, it transfers the audience into a cynicism about the message because the mode doesn't do it properly. Let's say you're trying to convey the fear of God. I mean, you know, so some music director comes up to the pastor one Sunday morning and says, I got a really good number here, past. We're trying to create a music form that will convey the fear of God. Check this one out, baby. You got to rev the old man. Got to rev the old man up the sky. Got to rev the old man up the sky. Sky, sky. Got to rev the old man in the sky. Okay. Now,
We'd like to apologize for that non-musical interlude.
Yeah. Dave, would anybody in their right mind listening to the program acknowledge that may not be the right way to convey the idea of the fear of God in a worship service on a Sunday morning? I'm afraid a lot of our CCM advocates would not agree with me, and that's the scary thing about the postmodern age.
And I think postmodern is the right word there, Kevin. you hear Carrie Underwood singing about drunkenness and drinking, in one way, kind of tongue-in-cheek condemning it, but in another way, embracing it.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, is that it's modern music is
not clear.
Is it's making fun of everything.
Yeah.
Nothing is real,
yes,
except for the emotion. And the emotion has to be that. That's what defines that song, is the emotion it elicits. And that's where I fear that we're lacking discernment. I lacked discernment when I was young. When I was, I'm a child of the 60s. Certainly I was exposed to all of the Beatles and the Stones and Led Zeppelin and all that sort of music of the 60s. I was too young to discern what I was hearing. Fortunately, by the grace of God, I didn't understand most of the lyrics. And even the ones I didn't understand the lyrics. You realize I was in my 30s before I realized that Happiness Is a Warm Gun, Bang Bang Shoot Shoot was not a pro-Second Amendment song. It was, you know, about heroin. Fortunately, I was gullible. I praise God for being gullible. But the point here, Kevin, is that communication matters in all of its form, and we ought to guard what we're saying. We ought to guard how we say it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the most important thing I got to leave you with right now, we're just out of time now, but it's the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God. Do we really fear God more after listening to these forms or after attending that movie or being part of that cultural expression? The problem with pop music tends to be that it's cool, and it encourages all of us to try to be cool, like the actors and like the musicians. The way the music is produced, man turns out to be more cool than God. You take country music, for example. A lot of these people who listen to country music, they think these country songs are cool. With the attitudes conveyed, whether it be the feminazi attitude or the cool country boy who's got his Chevy and he's going to go out and fornicate that night and maybe even get a little drunk or what have you. There's a coolness about it. And so they get their cowboy hat, they get their sunglasses on straight, they get their boots on, but they feel very, very cool about themselves because they're beginning to emulate the cool image produced in that music. But it's hard for them to take a sermon just that seriously that encourages them not to be cool, but to humble themselves and fear the true and living God. See, and they don't take judgment messages very well either, because they just heard the word D-A-M-N, damn, and it was a really cool word when it was sung in that song. Not a dreadful word that brings up the connotations of the white-hot justice and holiness of Almighty God. You see, that's the problem. That's the problem. The forms, the words, the content, the cultural directions, the trajectories are not taking us back to the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And that, my friends, is the most fundamental problem with much of our cultural system today. Well, you can interact with our radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. We're coming back to this cultural issue again and again, and we want this to be a conversation, a discussion with others out there. This is not the final word on what's happening to our culture. We need to be men of discernment, women of discernment on these issues, friends. I mean, we need to be this, or we will be sucked up into the vortex of what's going on with our society today. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.